I'm John Wells, and this is a Hamilton Spectator podcast to accompany part one of my three-part series, Body and Soul, Inside McMaster's Anatomy Lab. The first time I met with the Anatomy Lab director, Bruce Wainman, it was in his office very early in my research for the story. That night I thought all I'd be doing is watching Bruce lecture to students in the classroom. Instead, as we sat there talking, just the two of us in his office, I realized he was prepping me to witness dissection of cadavers. Tonight, I was told, is skull night, when students cut open the cranium and remove the brain. It's the first time the students will see the face on their cadaver, he told me, adding that that can be tough on them. Tough on them, I thought. What about the poor reporter? It was a year ago when I first thought about writing a story about the anatomy program, what happens there, who donates their bodies to science, and what it's like to see a human body dissected. It wasn't until last January or so that I actually pitched the idea to my editors. I told my dad about the idea, and he was appalled. "Why would you want to do that?" he asked. It was a good question. I think that after writing a series about the ICU at Hamilton General Hospital a couple of years ago, I was looking for another fly-in-the-wall type health story to tell. And I recalled reading Michael Crichton's memoirs years ago called Travels, where he writes about his experience in medical school. The first chapter, I believe, was titled Cadaver. But really, why? I don't know. I have been fortunate at the Spec to have had the opportunity to write about compelling people and visit interesting places. Witnessing human dissection, seeing the body the way few ever will, I suppose that concept appealed to me, even as on another level, I wasn't sure about it at all. But my editor, Cheryl Steppen, gave me the green light, and it was too late to turn back. I pitched it to McMaster's communications people. They were receptive, although stressed the need for sensitivity regarding the donors to the program. In the end, McMaster was very supportive, if highly protective, understandably, and they allowed myself and photographer Kathy Coward into the anatomy lab. I was there 5 times on different occasions over the course of 7 months, watching lab staffers and students work with cadavers. That first time, that first night, after Bruce Wainman had prepped me for skull dissection night, it was, as I wrote, a jarring experience at first. We walked into the lab where the students were gathered, and I was struck by the contrast. The bright lab lights, green scrubs, bright, fresh-faced students, and the cadavers. The bodies lying on examination tables, heavily fixed for dissection, the skin looking a dark tanned color from the chemical fixing process, the body cavities wide open from previous dissections over recent weeks, tissue, bone, organs. I stood well back at a distance at first. Go easy, I thought. I seriously wondered initially if I could take it, but it got much easier. There was a little smell, for one thing, only the slight odor of formaldehyde, but even then less than I remembered from my biology class in high school when we dissected frogs. And most of all, there was Wainman, who was good-humored and easygoing, and his students, who are animated, respectful, busy, noisy, and very young. It all kept me in the moment. Soon I was right up next to the cadavers with the students. One thing I noticed was the eyes on the cadavers, how dark they were. They lose their color upon death. And then I felt a surgical glove being placed on my hand. It was Bruce Wainman. He had me touch with my gloved hand a lung that had been weakened to a mushy texture from asbestos exposure over the years, likely from the workplace. One thing I kept staring at was the gray stubble on the cheeks of one of the male cadaver's faces, and I thought it reminded me of an old memory. It reminded me of kissing my dad's cheek. Back when I used to kiss my dad's cheek when I was little, feeling the prickle of the whiskers. It was something I had not thought about in many years. It was fascinating that first night, and in many ways mentally exhausting, taking it all in. And that was essentially just the beginning of my odyssey on this story. I'll talk more about the story and meeting the families of the body donors in podcasts for parts 2 and 3 of the series. Thanks for listening. I'm John Wells.